Good morning. This is Pastor Darren welcoming you to another Back to Bethel radio broadcast. I appreciate your many prayers and your continued faithful support. I felt like this morning I needed to make a few announcements. I want to make the radio community aware of Bethel Christian Academy, which is operated on the campus of the church where I pastor at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church in Spruce Pine. I serve as the principal and senior administrator of the school and would appreciate your prayers for the school for this upcoming school year. We currently have just over 50 students who are desiring a Christian education, and we are very blessed to have the opportunity to teach and train these young people in righteousness and in truth and in the Word of God. Our teachers are all certified and degreed, and we would like to continue to grow. If you're interested in your student attending at Bethel Christian Academy, please give us a call. My number at school is 828-765-0510. We would be delighted to talk to you. Or you are welcome to send me an email at Pastor Darren, PastorDarrin, at bellsouth.net. You may also look at the school's website, which is www.bethelchristianacademy.org. We would love for you to see what God is doing. And just in case you're wondering, tuition for a student between kindergarten and fifth grade is $225 a month, and tuition for a student between sixth grade and high school is $250 a month. I believe you'll find that tuition rate one of the lowest rates in the entire state for Christian schools. We are a member of the North Carolina Christian School Association and the American Association of Christian Schools, and God is really blessing the work at the school. Last year, 18 students were gloriously saved. We thank the Lord for what God is doing, and we ask you that you might pray for us and support us in the work God has called us to do. I also want to take the time to invite you to our Bible school, which is held August the 4th through August the 8th. It is for all students, young or old. Bible school will be held each night from 6:30 until 8:30, and we hope that you can come and attend or pray for us. We thank you so much. Now for the message. God bless each one of you. You'll find the reading this morning in the book of John, chapter number 8, and we'll begin reading with verse number 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Those last two words there that we just read is what I believe the Lord would have us to concentrate on today. This thought, free indeed. Praise God, only Jesus can make us free indeed. I want to skip back to the founding of this country. Our first Continental Congress met together, and they made a petition, and they wrote a list of grievances, and they sent them back to Great Britain to King George. And he did not respond. And when the Second Continental Congress met together in the summer of 1776, they said, "We are going to draft a statement, a document that would sever the ties of the colonies from Great Britain." And on July 4th, 1776, as Congress convened, they met together and they
all said that we are in favor of this Declaration of Independence from Great Britain, and the church bells rang out all over Philadelphia, where that Congress had convened, stating that we are now at liberty. We are free, for the Declaration of Independence had been officially adopted. John Hancock, who is the president of that Second Continental Congress, he used a bold signature centered just below the text, and he signed his name. 56 men signed that Declaration of Independence, and they therefore pledged their lives and their sacred honor to uphold that document. Did you know that that cost them pretty much everything? For those 56 men, 17 of them lost everything that they had. 5 of them were captured by the British and were tortured and put to death. 12 of them had their homes ransacked and burned. Many lost their sons, their entire families in the Revolutionary War. 9 of the 56 died from wounds or from hardships of that war. But not one of them that signed that document would turn away and be a traitor to their country. That document, the Declaration of Independence, it is cherished as one of the greatest symbols of liberty in the United States of America. This past weekend, we have just celebrated 238 years of independence and freedom. And as Americans, you and I have a lot to be thankful for. There is much to celebrate. Therefore, we ought to stop and think about our freedom. We have many rights and liberties that others in other nations do not have. Because you are free, you have the freedom today, the liberty to gather in this place. Because you are free, you have the liberty and the freedom to carry your Bible, to pray and serve God Almighty, and seek His holy face, and serve Him every day of your life. Thank God for the rights we have as Americans to celebrate these freedoms and these rights that we have. But did you know that it is possible to enjoy the rights of an American and still not be free? Did you know that Americans are free socially, but many Americans are bound spiritually? July 4th, 1776 is our National Day of Independence. But my personal day of independence is July 13th, 1978, when by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me and made me free. When I think about this Declaration of Freedom, many have heard Jesus' words in this text, and many have believed on Him. Look what Jesus said to them. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, He's setting apart then those that have made a profession that said, oh, I believe Him. Listen, from the time I was but a child, I knew, I believed with all my heart, there's a God. Though I did not know Him, I believed Him. But there is a difference in continuing in His word and being free indeed. There's a lot of great heroes in the Revolutionary War, many of them boldly declaring their pursuits of freedom. One of them that did so, his name was Benedict Arnold. He was a soldier, made a general in the Revolutionary War. But he went behind the backs of his American brothers and he declared his patriotism to King George. And for 20,000 pounds, he decided that he would turn over West Point to the British. He was discovered when his accomplice, John Andre, was captured in 1780. And quickly, Benedict Arnold was found out to be a traitor. And he had to escape to New York and set sail on a vessel back to England to a place of safety. Benedict Arnold proved that he was not a true American patriot because he did not continue in the American pursuit of independence. So it is just possible that someone who makes a profession of salvation may not really belong to Jesus at all. There are so many who say that I'm saved, but you never see them in church. You never see them in the Word. You never see them in prayer until they get in trouble. And the reason is they're loyal to the enemy, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus made a declaration of freedom where he said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is truth? Three things. The Savior, he is truth. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The Savior's truth. You know, the Scripture is truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Spirit is truth. 1 John 5:6, it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Who is this one that makes us free? It is Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost, convicting us, wooing us, drawing us, regenerating us when we call on Jesus' name. Through the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. There is a declaration of freedom that we have in the United States. It's called the Declaration of Independence. That's wonderful. But there is a greater declaration of freedom in the Word of God. It is another truth, and receive the truth, and call upon the truth, and be saved this morning. And I bless His holy name for that. Number one, the declaration of freedom. Number two, I want you to consider the delusion of freedom. Look at verse 33. This crowd that has believed on him, that Jesus has said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Look at verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? The word free is a word that speaks of someone who's been liberated from bondage. Two things about this I want you to see. I want you to see the arrogance of these boasting men. They are questioning the Lord Jesus, saying, want you to know, how do you say we'll be made free when we're Abraham's seed? We've never been in bondage. We're already free. Well, let's examine that proud boasting, arrogant boasting that they're doing. Were they in bondage in Egypt? 400 years they were in bondage in Egypt. How quick they were to forget. Not only were they in bondage in Egypt, but then they were in bondage to the Canaanites. They were in bondage to the Moabites. They were in bondage at one time to the Philistines. They were in bondage to the Babylonians. And the Jews in that day were waiting for the Messiah to come because they were in bondage to the Romans. The Romans ruled the land that day, and the Jews were in bondage to them. And listen to them brag and say, how do you say we'll be made free when we've never been in bondage to any man? They, my friend, are completely blind to the truth. To say they've never been in bondage when all those years they've been in bondage to enemies because of their sin. not only that, but I want you to know Jesus said in verse 34, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Nor are they blinded by sin, but they're bound by sin. You know, it's a possibility to be an American citizen and to be free socially, but because of sin, you're not free spiritually. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, bound by sin. So what this makes me think is there are people that are lost. This crowd, well, they said they believed on him, but really, they are lost and they don't even know it. That was the testimony and the witness of my life for many years. Until one day in a church service, when I wasn't looking for him, he came looking for me. And he knocked on my heart's door and said, "I am Jesus. I want to save you." I didn't even know I was lost. Oh, you may be free socially, but you are bound by sin. You're the servant. You're the slave of sin. Oh, the wages of sin is death. But Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice that I might be saved. And oh, how I thank him. You realize there's a lot of people this weekend who are out at fireworks shows, partying, living it up. We are free. We have the right to do whatever we want to do. And it's all right to go to a fireworks show. I like them, amen. But there they are and having a good time, said, "We're free. Look at all the pretty colors and the freedom we have to do all these things." But they don't even realize that in sin, they are bound, shackled, in bondage, in affliction to an oppressor called sin that wants to rule their life. Understand that is a delusion of freedom where people say they're free, but they're yoked to it. Jesus told those Jews, "You say you believe me, but you've lied. You say you trust me, but you've lied. You say you've never been in bondage, but you've lied. You're in bondage right now, not just to Rome, not formerly to the Egyptians and the Babylonians. You are enslaved to sin." Number three, and I'm done. I want you to consider the dimensions of freedom. Look at verse 35. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever." Preacher, what does that mean? Jesus is wanting us to consider the dimension of freedom in terms of relationship. The word servant is the word slave. The slave abideth not in the house forever. Preacher, what does that mean? Jesus is comparing a slave to a son. There's a big difference in the household in relationship. You see, the slave has no permanent standing in the master's house. The servant of sin can be sold to another master. The servant of sin can be put to death. But the son in relationship to the father, the son has a permanent place. The son has a place of standing. He is the heir. And he has all the privileges of sonship. Now here this morning, here you are in the house of God. Are you living in the privileges of freedom? In the privileges of sonship? Are you living in the shackles of bondage? Perfect freedom is obtained through the Son. Look at the word, verse 35, "but the Son," that's a capital S-O-N. Not just speaking about you and I being children of God, speaking that we were made children, we were adopted children of God by Jesus Christ, who is the Son, capital S-O-N. He is the only one that has a perfect standing before God. He is God's only begotten Son. He gave his life that you and I might be saved. And we place our faith in the Son. Therefore, we have our sins forgiven. We're redeemed and we're made free. There was a wealthy man and his son. They enjoyed one another's company. They enjoyed art. They collected Van Goghs and Rembrandts. And one day the boy went off to war and he was killed in the war. And the daddy took down all the other pictures and he put one little picture of his son up over the mantle, and every day he wept and grieved himself to death. And one day there came a knock at his door, and a soldier was standing there. And I want you to know, he said, that boy right there that you're looking at, he said, I made a picture of the man who saved me when I was shot. When I could not get to safety, I drew this picture. Your son drug me to safety after I had been shot. And listen, and your son died saving my life. And I wanted to come today and tell you that that boy that you have hanging there over your mantle is my hero. He is a savior to me. And he said, I want you to give you this picture. I want to know that wealthy man, he tried to pay him. He said, listen, I didn't come here to get money. I just come here to thank you and let you know about how much I loved your son. And after that young boy left, the daddy took that picture down that he had and he put up that new picture of the son. I want you to know that daddy grieved himself to death until finally, you know, he died and he had no heirs. And finally, they was going to have a big auction at his house to sell all those beautiful pictures that had been in storage, the Rembrandts and the Van Goghs that were in storage for all those years. And the auctioneer came out and he put one picture up and he unveiled it. And it was that picture that hung upon the mantle that soldier had drawn of that boy. He said, we're going to start the bidding right here. And somebody said, we don't want that picture. We want Van Gogh. We want Rembrandt. We'll start the bidding here. The wealthy man said in his will, we'll start with this picture. Who'll give us $100? Nobody. And finally, from the back of the room, a man who had worked as a servant in that household, he said, I'll give $10. He said, $10 for this picture? The frame is worth more than that. Who'll give $100? The man said, I've only got $10. And he said, going once, going twice, sold to the man in the back. Come claim your picture, sir. And as he came down, the auctioneer dropped that gavel and said, this auction is closed. They said, wait a minute, we want Rembrandt. Wait a minute, we want Van Gogh. He said, it says right here in the wheel, whosoever takes the son gets it all. Hallelujah. For $10, he got it all. I want to say I got it all for much less. I got it all for nothing. All I had to do is give up my sin and call on Jesus' holy name. And he saved my soul. And he gave it all to me. Verse 36. The scripture says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Oftentimes people, they may have sold their properties and got in debt and they would come and work for another, and thus they have enslaved themselves for another, and they may have worked for years for a master. But I want you to know, the son growing up in the home one time, he loved all those servants in the household, and the daddy had died, and the son says, I want to set them all free. What can I do? He went down to the magistrate and he says, we have a law. You can set them all free. You can emancipate them all. And he brought every one of them down. And he said, all you have to do is put your hand on their head and say, he is free. And I want you to know that that son, that new heir to the household, he came down, he took all the servants, all the slaves, and he put his hand on all their heads one at a time. He said, you are made free. Gave them papers with a seal on it. Another man tried to get them for escaping, but they weren't escaping. They were made free. They showed him the papers and said, look, I've got the papers. I have been made free. You have no claim on me. You have no jurisdiction on me. I'm not a refugee. I am not running. I have been made free. Hey, man, this morning I've got my papers. It's called the Word of God. Jesus, woo-hoo, Jesus said if I believe in him, he would make me free, amen. And I got the Holy Ghost, which is the seal, which is the guarantee. I have freedom in the Holy Ghost today because Jesus has made me free. And whosoever the Son makes free is free indeed. Well, I love that. Sin's chains being broken. Made free, a new creation. Didn't he say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You remember the Gulf War, the Persian Gulf War? Our troops were sent over there to set Kuwait free because Kuwait had been taken into bondage by Iraq. And while one of the anchormen was standing there reporting the news that Kuwait has just been liberated and America had become a type of a savior to those of Kuwait, There was a man that went running by in broken English. This is what he said. Me free, me free, me free, me free. Hey, glory to God. I'm glad, praise God, you and I have been made free from the wiles of the devil. You ought to be running around here saying, me free, me free. I can sing, I can shout, no longer shackled, not going to hell. I've got eternal life. Patrick Henry, another great American Revolutionary War patriot, he made this statement. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. In 1829, George Wilson of the state of Pennsylvania was sentenced to be hanged by a United States court. President Andrew Jackson pardoned him, but Wilson refused the pardon. The courts of our country found itself in a situation they had never faced before. What to do with a man who has received a pardon but rejects it? Should they let him live, or do they go ahead and execute him? So the Supreme Court met to settle the matter. Chief Justice John Marshall gave this decision. A pardon is a paper, the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. It is hardly supposed that one under a sentence of death would refuse to accept a pardon. But if it is refused, it is no pardon. And George Wilson must be hanged. And hanged he was. How tragic. A man's pardon signed, sealed, and delivered. George Wilson said, I'd rather die as be made a free man. Yet every lost soul is a George Wilson. Their pardon is signed, it's sealed, and it's been delivered. But every time they reject it, there they are hanging in the cords of sin.